Nervous of public speaking. I've been doing it for 15 years or so. But let me tell you what just gets me all stressed out. What gets me all stressed out is just the love and the passion that I want you to have for Jesus Christ. That by me speaking, by bringing the Holy Spirit, by bringing Jesus into the room, the cousin or uncle or friend that you brought from work today, are they getting touched? Are they getting something, or are they just getting more of me, and I don't want me? You can meet me on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, but today I don't want you to meet me, I want you to meet Jesus. So I'm all stressed out, and I'm in the back room. I'm like, Jesus, I just want them to have you. I just want them to have you. I want them to have you. I want them to have you. Texting Jenna. Jenna, I don't know. As I'm there, just in the presence of God, with the Holy Spirit, he's like, drink. He's like, drink a lot. Get drunk. Now, I know that by me just saying that, I just offended at least one of you. I know that by me wearing sandals today has at least offended another one of you. But Jesus wore sandals, so I think it's okay. All right? There are so many things that that God wants for us that we don't take it. We don't get it because it goes into our mind filter and we just spit it out. Some of you are like, that guy up there, he says he's a pastor, but he's wearing sandals, and that's just not right. Some of you are thinking to yourself, maybe, wait, he just said to get drunk. I came out of the world, and I used to get drunk. I did. Literally get drunk. But we have to realize that God has something so much better. Whatever the world has, God has so much better. If the world has drink, God has, oh yeah, man, his drink is good, right? Like I was out there praying, and Jenna was praying, and like she's like almost on the floor, and I'm almost on the floor, and I'm laughing. Let me tell you, because I was so wound up and so tight, and sometimes the only thing that's going to get you loosened up is a drink from Jesus. So hopefully I offend you guys just enough to just get a little bit more of him. Maybe some of you are so wound up about things, about life, about your kids, about your paycheck, about all of these things, that maybe it's time you need a drink. Maybe it's time that we just get it from Jesus. The world's had enough of our time. It's about time we give him our time. Show. You know, there was a time in my life in the church that I went to that you weren't supposed to come to church happy. That if you were happy, you didn't give God enough, or you didn't do enough, or you didn't work enough. You should be coming into church moping. Going, oh God, I gave you everything this week. Here it is. I'm here. I can barely lift my hands to praise you, but that's not what God wants. I'm telling you what, if that's what we are showing, the world don't want it. The world doesn't want our dead faith. They want our alive Jesus. Though my body might be dead, it's Christ that's in me that's alive. And the more that I die, the more he comes out and is real. They want Jesus. How many of you guys want Jesus today? Amen. So I'm telling you, if you leave this room today and you don't have Jesus, it's just a funeral service. It's just a funeral service, but if you leave full with Jesus, oh man, you're alive. So, I want to tell you a little bit about a camping trip that I went a while back on. And it was a young adult trip, and a bunch of us young adults went to go hang out, just do our Christian thing, a kumbaya. You know, Jason, who I don't know if he's here today, he ate a couple ants. You know, do what young adults do, crazy things. People that know Jason, they're like, huh, yeah. Just hang out, kumbaya moment. But guess what? It got wrecked. So we went camping in this place for a few years, and it was great because the camp knew who we were and that we were good kids and good people and that we could camp wherever we wanted to, even without security. They would just let us be because we weren't going to do anything wrong. But this year, we're at this place, and there's this little river, and on the other side of this river used to be peace and quiet. But this year had a bunch of hippies. I mean, like legit hippies. Like you went in through a time machine, went back in time, went back to the 60s, walked across the stream and saw the hippies. And I'm telling you, their music and what they did was very distracting. And it didn't just last for a little bit during the day. It lasted till like 4 in the morning. And then there would be a break. There'd be about like a 5-minute break. And you're like, thank you, Jesus. I can finally sleep. 5 minutes later, and the music just gets worse throughout the night. So the next day, I woke up. I'm trying to think of how I'm going to make sure our group has fun and they'll come on another camping trip with us. And so I'm trying to think of ways and trying to do things, whatever. And then I'm just getting frustrated in my heart and my spirit. I'm just getting, like, mad. I'm like, these darn hippies, they're ruining everything. Girls with, like, no shirts on and, like, just things, you just, not a church service. No Jesus there, right? Like, gotta stop this. So I started thinking about this, and one person, one of the group, was at a higher level than me at the moment, said, why don't we put some free prayer signs out? I don't want to pray for these people. They're ruining our weekend. And so after about, I had a hard time. After about an hour, I'm like, all right, fine. We'll put some free prayer signs out there, and we'll see what happens. All right. So we put these free prayer signs out. We put free prayers. We're thinking, all right, they're hippies. So I know that we wouldn't say this in church, but they're hippies who said free spiritual readings. Because if you say, hey, we're going to pray for you, or like, let me tell you about Jesus, they're going to be like, no way, man. Like, I'm going back to LSD over there, and I'll see Jesus during those times, right? So anyways, so we put these things on, free hugs, free spiritual readings, free different things like that. I'm sure I offended someone else again by saying that. And all of a sudden, they come. Like, there's this stream right here and a little bridge, and they actually fenced it off so that the hippie people couldn't be with the normal people. And they broke through the fence. And they were like, if any of you guys have seen it, The Walking Dead, not a great show. And they're like walking through. I'm like, here they come. I'm like, what are they going to take on to this? So one person goes, hey, man, dude, free hugs. I love hugs, man. I'll take a hug. And we like hug them. And they're like, that was a good hug. And I'm like, he said it just like that. And he's like walking. And they're like, hey, dude, yeah, I'll take a free spiritual reading, man. So we just start, like, just free encouragement. Actually, we had free encouragement first. We were, like, encouraging them and saying, like, just asking the Lord, like, what God thought of them. Because God loves everybody. We're all God's children. Some of us, we don't know that. He loves us all. So we're asking the Holy Spirit, asking the Lord, like, Lord, what do you think about them? We're speaking into their life, and they just start to cry. And they're like, oh, dude, that was great. That was great, man. Oh, free spiritual readings. We go over there, and we just start praying. And then we just start telling them about the Lord. And we start telling them what God's plan for their life was. That God died for their sins. We start telling them all about Jesus. And their hearts were so open and so into it that literally the one person that came up to us that was literally worldly drunk got sobered up in a second. There was a group of teenagers that came. And they're like kind of like they're in a group. And they're like kind of all pushing each other a little bit. No, you go do it. 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 Right? And so they come up and and they get their prayer, and we start asking the Lord and start speaking to their life, and we could just totally tell that God was doing something. And he was like moving, and he almost looked like he was on a surfboard, and the Lord was telling one of us, he's like, ask him if he's on a surfboard. Now, I know, some of you guys, this is weird and whacked out. I get that. Let me pause for a second and just kind of tell you. You know that no church in the world has a problem with you praying for somebody? If you're sick, not a church in the world, Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Lutherans, whatever it is, if you're sick, they have no problem praying for you. But the moment you get healed, that's when there's problems. Will you pray for me, brother? Oh, I'll pray for you. And we as a church expect that I'll pray for you. And then the person who said I'll pray for you expects to forget about it. That's just how church is. That's how we do church. Right? That's how my grandpa did church. That's how my parents did church. But the moment someone gets healed, the moment the Holy Spirit comes in, the moment something that's a little bit more awkward, a little bit different, a little bit out of our comfort zone, and the person literally gets healed, that's when we have an issue with it. Well, I know that person who prayed for that person. I know what they did last week. That offends me. They did not get healed the way that I wanted them to be healed. That offends me. It used to offend me. I remember going to a church. We went from our church that you're not supposed to be happy at, and we went to my aunt's church that they were all happy and stuff. And my mom, the whole service, I can't believe that. That one person over there, he raised his hand without a question. You know? I remember going to Florida on Easter morning, and we all had our little suits on, and our, you know, it was horrible, 90 degrees wearing a suit, not very fun. And the people in front of us were wearing sandals. And the whole service, we didn't hear any of the message. All I heard was my mom go, don't you ever wear sandals to church. That's disrespectful. You know, all sorts of things like that. You know, we have these issues. God doesn't work. God works all around our issues. He works through our issues. The people that knew Jesus the most were always offended. Not to be offended for us to be mad, but offended so that our hearts will change. Lord, why are you taking that hammer to my heart? I don't like it. Well, because it's good for you. Ting, 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 ting. Ow! I'm going to go to a place that doesn't hurt, doesn't hammer my heart and make it soft and listen to the Holy Spirit. So anyway, so these guys are praying, and we're praying for these guys, and the one kid, he's like, oh my gosh. I'm like, are you on a surfboard? He's like, yeah, I'm on a surfboard. And we're like the Lord is like with you. He's like, oh my, I feel it, man. I feel it. Right? And he's going through all these things. And you can tell when someone's faking it or not. Teenagers don't fake it. They're like, nah, man, I'm out. Psh. Adults, we could fake it. But the teenagers, they weren't faking. He was like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. I'm like, you feel Jesus? I feel Jesus. Jesus is here. Like, this is awesome. He gets all excited. He bolts to his friends. He's like, you got to do this. They got something different. This is awesome. I want to reverse for a little bit. Remember, my heart was hard before these things happened. I didn't want to do this. I wanted my normal vacation/camping trip. I wanted my 30 young adults to be with me, to play guitar, to eat the little Hot Pockets, to not have to take showers, but really say you really want to, but not do it, and be like, oh, no, I know I smell, I'm sorry. I wanted the normal camping trip, but God had something different in mind. See, as we were seeing a camping trip, God's like, oh, there's missionaries here. This is awesome. As we were camping, as we were doing our thing, the Lord looked at the campground and he said, awesome. I have missionaries there. I'm going to use them. He will use you whether your heart is hard or not. And I'm telling you, after the first person we prayed, I wasn't really expecting much. And bam, crazy thing. Next thing, crazy thing. Next thing, crazy thing. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. This is so cool. I'm liking this. I'm telling you what, it had nothing to do with me and all about what Jesus wanted to do in that moment. Yeah. people were lining up to our campsite. Actually, one person goes up to us after we prayed for him. He said, "Hey, man, I came here looking for God, and I found him, man." I mean, me, I was thinking you went to a festival filled with LSD and you were looking for God. Okay, there's churches out there that could probably do a better job. But God knew we were there. So anyways, long story short, there were so many people looking for God in that event. They were looking for something that literally we got tired praying for people. Not like, oh, I don't want to pray for more people, but just we're just exhausted. Everybody, our whole group was praying for people. It was amazing. All of our group was like, I've never seen this before ever happen. I'm like, I've never seen it like this happen before. I've seen God do stuff, but this is pretty awesome. This camp is huge. It was at Clay's Park, if you don't know anything about Clay's Park. It's massive. It's one of the largest campgrounds, probably in the state of Ohio. Huge, massive place. And so we went to another end of the place to kind of get away. Just take a break. Totally felt like Jesus at that moment. Like when Jesus in the Bible says, I need to get away for a moment. Completely, completely emphasized and could feel that. So here we are. We're super far away and we're by this lake and we're swimming and having a good time. And we see this person. And Jenna, I'm sure I'm not saying it right, but she'll correct me later. And we're there and we're hanging out. We're chilling. We're having a good time. We're like, oh, we're talking about what God was doing and we're just relaxing and enjoying it. And all of a sudden, we see, like, this person. They're, like, looking at us. They're, like, staring us down. And the little girl, like, Miss, talking to Jenna, are you those people that do the prayer thing? And Jenna's, like, and honestly, we're kind of, like, oh, man, they found us. Like, we were happy. We were loving seeing what God was doing, but we were actually really tired. And Jenna's like, yes. It's like, will you pray for me? Will you do that to me? Will you pray? And we're like, yeah, awesome. So we pray for her. She's all excited. And Jenna's like, well, to the mother, do you want prayer? Like, do you want it? She's like, well, yeah, I'll take it. And so Jenna's praying for her. And all of a sudden, the Lord's showing her a spider. And Jenna's like, Lord, why are you showing me a spider? I want to speak life in this person, not death. But so anyway, so the Lord was showing this, and Jenna was able to speak into her, and the woman just starts to cry. Jenna was saying how for her whole life she identified as a black widow spider, and that God wanted to use her for something different, and on and on and on and on. She's crying, she's crying, she's crying. And all of a sudden, she was wearing her bathing suit. She's like, you got to see this. And I'm like, oh gosh, I don't want to see nothing. And she had a tattoo of a black widow spider that she was wearing. And she said, my whole life I was identifying with a black widow spider. Now I'm telling you what, we could live and do church like we always do, and some things will happen, some little things here or there. But if we don't mind getting offended just a little bit, we might see God do some amazing things. So oftentimes, I just need to get out of myself. You know, after being a pastor for 15 years, you start to get, okay, if this person says this, this is what you say. This person, you have to pray for this way. You have to do this. And you have a system and you have a thought process for everything that happens. But you know what? That leaves very little room for the Lord to do something new. Some of you in this room, only a couple of you, are older than me. You've been at this thing even longer than I have. You also have responses that you do. Things that we are programmed to say. It's just what we do. We like habits. I like habits. If I'm not up by a certain time, I won't tell you what it is. I like to sleep. I get upset. I'm like, Jenna, wake up. She likes to sleep more than I do. Come on, Jen, we got to go. You know, we like our routines. But God is so much better than our routines. He does. Whoa. So many times we take the trust back from Jesus because we don't like the outcome, the process. Or if we're really honest with ourselves, we can't trust God. I'm going to say this again. So many times we take trust back from Jesus. We don't like the outcome, the process. Or if we're really, truly honest with ourselves, we just can't trust God. I want you to take that moment, just think about that for a second. I tell you, there are so many times where I say the words or the phrases that are programmed into my mouth to say, and my brain goes, you don't believe that. Or something will go on in my life, and I'll speak it out of my mouth, say, I will trust God for this, and my mind says, you don't really trust God. I'm like, yes, I do. My mouth says it. But your brain and your heart say no. And then I think a particular outcome is going to happen, and it doesn't happen. Or you do something, you trust God. Maybe you haven't raised your hands before, and there's nothing magical about raising your hands for worship. I'm just using an example. I know when I got saved, just something about me, I was nervous, and I saw other people raise hands. I'm like, I'm not raising my hands. My church I went to said, you don't do that, you know. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it. Woo! You know, I did it, you know, like that type of thing. And you're just completely free because you're doing stuff that you're not used to doing. Yes, it's nervous. Yes, it's scary. No, it doesn't make any sense at all. But it's God. You know, when one of the very first times I went out with Jenna, I don't think we ever went anywhere. We just kind of like knew of each other, whatever. And I liked her secretly. And she said, she called me up. I was at work. And she's like, hey, do you want to go to this conference with me? And I was like, yes. I'm like, yes, I do. I'm like, oh, yeah, let me check my schedule. Yeah, I think I could come, you know. But on the inside, I'm like, yes, I'm coming. So anyways, I come. And you have to understand, the conference that I was invited to wasn't a conference I would not be interested in it. It was a conference where people prayed and they fell and Holy Spirit came, all these type of things happened. It was a Bethel conference. And I just wasn't interested in that. I was like, look, what's the point of you falling over? Like, really? I mean, wouldn't God rather you stand up? like kind of makes sense to me. Like, that doesn't, like, there's people that kind of like go like this. I'm like, God can heal you of that, you know? So this isn't something, but, you know, there's something about a woman that brings you into a place where you normally wouldn't go. And so I went to the conference, and I saw everything and so on and so forth. And I still wasn't like it, but I didn't want to say nothing about it. So a long time down the road, I tell Jenna, I was like, this is kind of crazy. I don't really like it that much. And she's like, why? Like, she's like someone saying you don't like candy. She's like, what? How do you know? This is awesome. Like, what are you talking about? This is the greatest thing ever. I'm like, yeah, but I kind of told her what I just said to you guys. She's like, well, don't you want everything that God has for you? I'm like, I don't know if God wants me to have that. What's in the Bible? If it's in the Bible, God wants you to have it. I'm like, yeah, but, I mean, we should do other things, right? Like, go tell people about Jesus. We should do something else. And I remember I went through this Bethel school with her. Man, I'm telling you what, I did not want to do it. I did not. Well, I was going back and forth. Yes, I want to. No, I don't. Yes, I do. I mean, it was like the last day. It was like ceremony. Like, they're like, you're coming into school. Congratulations. And I was sitting in the thing. And I was like, God's like, you're supposed to go. I'm like, I must not be hearing you correctly. You know? And so I'm like, oh, wait. I didn't turn any money in. I don't have to go. Great. So I said to the leader, I said, hey, I'd love to come. Unfortunately, I don't have the money to come. I didn't turn it in. All the paperwork's not in there. And they're like, that's okay. You're a pastor. We'll make you an exception for you. I was like, oh, no. Bang my head up against the wall. So I go, and it was a really good class. The teacher, I don't think, liked me very much, Lauren Witt, because she would say something like, that's not God. That's not God. Oh, we had some issues back and forth, but we're cool now. But at the very last month of the thing, the Lord really touched me. He opened my heart. And what Jenna told me really sunk in. To want everything that God has for me, even if I don't understand it. There are lots of things our earthly parents say when we're kids that we don't understand, but then when we turn about 25, we get it. God's the same way. There are so many things he tells you, you don't understand it, and we probably won't get it till we get to heaven. Some things we'll get right away. So I said, about a month before, I said, Lord, after I saw all the fire tunnels and prayer things and so on and so forth, I said, God, if that's what you really want from me, if somehow you see this to be valuable, I don't see it being valuable, but God, if you see it being valuable, if you like it, if you take joy in it, then I want it. So I opened my heart to it. So for all of you that in here that have been offended by some of the things that I said, I'm telling you what, that's me. That was me. That was me all the way. That was me with a whole bunch of force, because in ministry for a long time, a lot of scripture verses to back up what I wanted to say. I had a ton of them. Lists, responses. God doesn't do that because this. Oh, what about this scripture verse? What about this? 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 Angry, frustrated. But the moment I let go, I'm telling you what, I went to the prayer line. I was out in a second. I was out. Like, I was on the floor. Out. I woke up completely drunk with Jesus. The service ended. I was still on the floor. People would try to help me, but the Spirit was on that situation so strong that they'd be on the floor the moment they grabbed my hand. Laughing and just going out. Jenna tried to get me many times. The whole ride home, Jenna even looked at me. She's like, is it safe for us to drive? I'm telling you what, was there a purpose in it? I don't know. It was a lot of fun, though. It was. It was amazing. Now in times where I'm completely stressed or whatever, the Lord can remind me of that day, like past couple days, being stressed out. And the Lord's like, just rest. You're too uptight. Have a Jesus drink. Not alcohol, Jesus. I want to make sure that's it, right? All right. This is good. The Lord gave this to me a couple days ago. At the very moment we focus on ourselves is the very moment we become limited. But at the very moment we focus on God, we become limitless. At the very moment that we focus on ourselves, we live in America where we take great pride and joy in the fact that we do it ourselves. I did it myself. I built that house myself. I fixed that car myself. I went to college. I saved up money. I did it myself. I did it myself. And I think God loves that. But the moment that we look at our own self is the moment that we have limitations. There is a part and a point to where you could only go so far. Trying to fix my house, trying to do electrical. I couldn't do it. Had to have my dad's help. My dad couldn't go any further. I had to have the electrician across the street. Give me help. I'm a horrible painter. Had to have the Chapinis come over and help me paint. If I said I would do it myself, I wouldn't get the greatest qualities and gifts that the Lord has to offer to us. Now you might say, well, I'm a millionaire. I have tons of money. I don't need anybody else. I made this money. I can pay for someone to do this and all that type of things. There is a point to where you cannot do it yourself. Our candidates, whether Democrat or Republican, we put a lot of trust and faith into whoever we're voting for. They can't do it themselves. We have our limitations. The definition of limitation is without limits or boundaries. Jeremiah 17:5. says, destroyed is the man who trusts in man, who trusts in the flesh for his own strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Now, when you first read this passage, you go, it's talking about someone who doesn't know Jesus. No, actually, it's talking about someone who does. That we get so wound up with what we could do that our hearts turn away from the Lord for a moment as we do this project. God, I'm going to do this. I'll be right back. Don't worry. Whatever. Husbands and wives, I'm sure you can relate to this. Yes, I love my wife. I have all these things to do. I'll talk to her later. How does it work out for you? But the moment you bring your wife into the situation is the moment you start getting blessed. The moment you bring your husband into something is the moment that you start getting blessed. Jesus set up everything to have a relationship with him. Everything. From the very moment he created the garden, he created a place to have relationship. If I wanted to have relationships with my daughter, I would take her to Kalahari. Because that's designed for her, that's made for her. She smiles, she loves it. She splashes me, I splash her back. It's a lot of fun. Jesus created the garden to bring joy to us all. To have relationship with him. The Lord said, yes, I want you to work. Work is actually not because of the fall of man. It was actually a gift from God to work. But God wanted us to do the work with him. If we can't learn to work with God here, what's heaven going to be like? Hey, God, good to meet you. Oh, yeah, there's all these things to do. I see there's a hole in the wall. I'm going to fix this. I'll be right back. God, let me fix this. No way. You're going to be like, God, Jesus, this is awesome. It's good to see you. Good to see you. Let's do this together. Okay. I don't know if you've had experiences with myself, with dads or parents, mother or father. I had some great experiences with my dad fixing cars. You know, I got a car when I was 13. It was all smashed up, and we worked together on it. And that's probably one of the greatest moments I had with my father, is working together with him. One of the greatest moments for him was that I could start doing it myself. But my dad bought the car, not for me to have a car, but for him and I to work together. It was never in his intention for me just to work alone. God's intention is not for you to work alone. You might think to yourself, well, that's a drag, keeping with the whole 60s theme. That's a drag, man. I'm telling you what, if I look at all the mistakes that I've made, all the directions I never looked at and tried building the bookshelf and it didn't come out the way it was supposed to because I didn't do the directions right, thinking I could do it myself. If I think of all the things, I could say that I at least have had at least one mistake in my life, at least one, maybe two, definitely one. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. Do you know that God has never made one mistake? That literally you can work with God, work on a project with the Lord, do something with Jesus, and there are no mistakes will be made from his part. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's with your kids. You're trying to do it yourself. I'm telling you what, don't do it yourself. You can't do it yourself. Bring God into the mix. I'm telling you what, I was a crazy kid. Some of you guys know my story. I'm not going to go into it today. Crazy kid, wild kid. Car chases with state police officers at the age of 13, 14. Wild kid. I'm telling you, the only way my mom made it was to pray and ask Jesus for help. And she still has her hair. Proverbs 28, 26. Those who trust in themselves are fools. You got to think of who wrote this. One of the smartest, wisest people who have ever walked the face of this earth wrote, those who trust themselves are fools. Yeah, that's good. Jesus, I just want to just glorify you in this moment. I want to just thank you for what you're doing in this room. Lord, I thank you that you are willing to offend my heart. That you care about my feelings, but you care about my feelings after you offend me. That I will be lighter and stronger and faster. That I will have less problems in my life. That I will soar with wings of eagles. Because you've taken us through the process. And we've been willing to go through the process. I thank you, Jesus. You know, one thing that I have a burden for since I've been in youth ministry for a very long time is parents. Kids, students, you really put your parents through a lot. And I'm sure all of you put your parents through a lot. We do. You know, I have a little girl, she's 9. I want the best for her. I think about her all the time. I pray for her all the time. She's always on my mind. I want the best for her. If I could put her in a great college, I would. If I could save up money and give it to her and know that she would spend it correctly, I would do it. I would do absolutely anything for her. Because I would think that by my money or by what I could do could actually somehow influence what God has called her to do. I love the story of Joseph. I hope it's Joseph. It wasn't because his dad was rich that he got to be where he was. It's because God said it's going to happen, and it happened. Now, I'm not a parent of a 13, 14, 15, 16, 18-year-old, so I'm just speaking from inexperience, so please forgive me for what I'm saying. Trust God more than the sports they play and the scholarships they could get. All the activities that we take our kids to, I'm not saying they're bad. Not at all. Please don't get me wrong. Scholarships are awesome. But all we have to do is realize that where our kids lie, if God wants them in a certain place, they're going to get there. The only thing we need to teach our kids is to listen to his voice and to have his presence with him. If you get them there through all the colleges and all the different things and they end up being a doctor or a lawyer but they marry the wrong person, all of that was for a waste anyways. All of that's a waste. They could be making $80,000 a year, have a great car, and you're proud of them, but they married the wrong person because they didn't hear God's voice and they are miserable and upset, and every time you see them for Christmas, you're going to feel bad. Wishing you would have said something, wishing you would have done something. But I'm telling you what, you take a child or a kid who does what he's been called to do with Jesus, and he's walking on the path that God's called him to do. He hears God's voice. He does what God's called him to do. I'm telling you, you will be the proudest parents ever. I went into car sales when I was younger because I felt that's kind of what God called me to do. And my dad was super happy because at the time, probably at the end, I was on track to making about $80,000 that year. Awesome. Could drive any car I wanted to. My parents, my dad was so happy. He said, I don't have to pay for your stuff anymore. You know, super happy. And then I said, you know, I'm supposed to be in ministry. He was not super happy. But son, you're going to be broke. You're not going to have any money. Ah, you know, whatever concept that they have. I'm telling you what, the moment I got into ministry and I spoke my very first message, my mom told me that my dad told all the guys at work how proud he was of me. I'm telling you what, I wouldn't trade all the money in the world for the wife that I have. I wouldn't. And you can't get a wife like that by not hearing God's voice. You can't. God has a calling on our lives that is irrevocable, cannot be changed. And the only one that really can change it is us making a different decision for ourselves. Hebrews 6:18 says, so God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we have fled to him for refuge. Hebrews 6:18 says, so God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to hope that lies before us. God cannot lie. He loves your kids. He loves you. He loves your grandparents. He loves all of these things. He doesn't lie. Don't run to yourself. Run to him. Don't do it. It's a waste of time. King David and Solomon said all over the place, it's a waste of time trusting in yourself. It just leads to heartache and brokenness. But if you trust in God, everything will work out. My mom would always tell me when I was little, I'd be frustrated about something. I'm like, oh, mom, oh. She's like, just trust in God. You'll be okay. I think the reason why she said that is because I was so bad. Everybody else was telling her. It was the first thing that came to her mouth. But it's true. To trust the God and everything will be okay. Do you know what the difference between a rich man and a poor man when they die? Nothing. The difference between a rich man and a poor man when he dies is nothing. Nothing's different. They may have a little fancier suit on, but I don't think he cares. Let's just dream with me for a second before I end up closing. What if we gave everything that we had to Jesus? I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about our dreams, our plans, our kids, our hospital bills, our grandparents. What if we gave it to Jesus? Instead of us trying to fix it, what if we said, God, you fix it? Even if God says, you know, I want my daughter or son to be a missionary somewhere, and you're like, that's scary. I don't want them there. But if God's placed it on their heart, let them go. I had a parent one time who brought her daughter into youth group, and she was into Wicca, which is witchcraft. She slept around with, like, everybody, a really pretty girl, had a lot of issues, lots of things, wanted to know about God, wanted to know a lot about things. She's like, are these, you know, fortune tellers? Are they telling the truth? Or, like, all these type of things. So about 3 weeks into it, we're all ministering to her, and you start to see a change in her life. She dresses different. I never had to say, please dress differently. The guys are watching you. She started dressing differently. She started acting differently. Pretty soon, I didn't hear anything about her boyfriend of the week. That was gone. Pretty soon, she wanted to go to camp. She wanted to do these things. One day, she said, I just want Jesus. That's all I want. I want Jesus. And then, you know what funny thing happened was her mom came in and talked to the pastor, all upset. She said, my daughter's life is changing. I think the pastor probably said something like, great, you know, good. She said, my daughter is not sleeping with anybody anymore. And I'm sure I wasn't in the conversation, but I'm just assuming the pastor was like, that's a problem, you know. She's like, she's not seeing anybody. She's not dating anybody. How is she supposed to have a husband one day? Da, da, da. She's not sleeping with anybody. Da, da, da. Like all the whole list of things. Pastor called me in. Told me exactly what she said. And I was like, that sounds great. You should be high-fiving me, man. This is awesome. This is like God's doing some crazy things here. But the parent was upset. He's like, I don't know what to do about this situation. You say, awesome. A girl's life has changed. Well, eventually the mother took the daughter out because she couldn't handle the fact that her daughter was starting to do well. She's not doing so well right now. But I believe that God's word does not go void. The Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you. One more story, and I'll let it go. I'm sure my dad won't like me talking about the story, but he's not here to tell me not to. So I'm going to tell you because it's impacted my heart and my life, and I think my dad's amazing in this. So he had a passionate heart. He didn't make a tremendous amount of money, but he said, "I want to build a church for the Lord. I want to pay for it. I want God to use me in such a way that I'll be able to pay for it myself with God's help and strength." He saved up everything that he had. Didn't have a lot of money. The Lord started working in his mind to give him new ideas of how to increase his income. And he did. So pretty soon he was making $50,000 on the side, here and there. The Lord told him to build a barn. He built a barn. He rented out the barn. All of these, like, just thing after 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 thing. He bought the property in Florida, 18 acres, on the water for a church. Paid cash for it. He has the money to build the complete church. This is my dad. No crazy job. He wasn't making $100,000 a year. He wasn't doing that. He had a normal job working hard. He paid cash for the property, and he has the money to build the church currently. He's just waiting for the person to build it for. And you know what the Lord blessed him with? An amazing house in Kentucky. Paid cash for that. They have property in South Carolina, North Carolina, Michigan, all over the place. My dad still wears his General Motors work shirt, drives an old car, but he knew that he did what God told him to do. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, I'm telling you, I'm telling you. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Whether it's your money, your kids, your finances, or whatever it happens to be. And even when things go down the wrong way and you're like, oh no, oh no, oh no. Trust the Lord is going to see you through it. If God guides, he provides. He provides. I hope that I've offended you enough. That the things that have really been placed in my heart by the Lord, that you'll wrestle with them. Like me, for the past few nights, had sleepless nights over it. That you wrestle with God, that you get connected with God. If you're upset with something I said, you can yell at him. I've done it many times. It's okay. God, I can't believe that. I love having a key to the church. I come here. I've yelled at God many times, and guess what? He's been okay with it. And every time I've cried out to the Lord says he hears my cries. And every single time there has been a result, a positive result from my cry of my heart to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Don't do this thing alone. Get connected with people. Pastor Caton has a huge vision. He just wants to see people's lives get changed. A church comes with a great opportunity. Crazy opportunity. I remember Jenna's calling me. She's like, "Adam, you know they're buying a church in Wycliffe?" I'm like, "No, I thought that they would tell me. I live in Wycliffe." And then I find out that it was just like a 24-hour thing. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. But see, after you've trusted the Lord for so long and you've seen his results, you start to go, okay, well, $500,000 isn't that big to God. He's not running out of money. He's not broke. God is good. You know, if today in this place, you have a burden on your heart, a burden that you personally would like to fix, that you have been emotionally involved, spiritually involved, financially involved, whatever it happens to be, and you're frustrated, or your kids, or whatever it happens to be, any worry, any concern, any issue, any problem, I want you to just stand up with me. If that is you, and there are issues going on, that's what church is for. is to see God come into place and move in a place. I want to just pray for you. Now, I understand that I said that a few times, that it has nothing to do with you and you have to be focused on God. Focus on God, but you still have to make moves in the right direction. But the Lord will tell you to move. And let me tell you right one thing before I pray. It's worked for me so many times. I'll be in a situation and there'll be a crossroads. I don't know which one to go down. I don't know if you've ever been there before. I'm like, God, I don't know if I'm hearing your voice right. Do I go this way or do I go this way? Do I go this way or this way? I really want to hear your voice. I'll just pick one. I'm going to go that way. Sometimes the Lord has said, wrong choice. But because you wanted to hear my voice so badly, I will make that one work out anyways. Or he'll say, no, I still want to move you over here, but it's going to be okay. It's all going to work out. I want to pray for you. God, I feel his Holy Spirit doing something. Jenna, can you come up as well? Heavenly Father, there is hope in you. There is great joy in you. Lord, today in this place, we lay down all of our burdens, all of our frustrations, all of our offenses. We lay completely open to you. All that we have, we leave completely open to you. We will take everything that you have for us, that you want for us. We may do it begrudgingly. And Lord, you are so gracious to allow us to do it begrudgingly. But Lord, I know, we know that the outcome is going to be good. We don't need to worry about who's going to be president. That as long as we put our trust in you and cry out to you, you can make whatever happen and make it good.
I just feel his presence in this place. You know, God is always ready. He's always, always, always ready to intervene. This is so cool about him. It's like when we're broken and we're busted and we're disgusted, he's there. If we're open to his presence, if we're open to receive all that he has for us, he has it all. He has it all. And I'm crying because I feel his presence in my life, and I know his heart is for you to feel that fully, for his church to feel that fully. God wants his church to fully be just in so in love with him and so enthralled with his presence that we are limitless in him. Limitless, because he's limitless and he lives in us. So I just want us all to stand and be activated, because we all need to be limitless for God and for his kingdom and for what he's doing in Cleveland. I was on the street Thursday night for the RNC. And let me tell you something. God is moving in Cleveland. You can say that. Like, I've said that for years, and we can say that in their churchy form. Like, oh, God's moving in Cleveland. Say a hallelujah. But God is moving in Cleveland. God is moving in Cleveland. God is doing something. And he wants all of you to be a part of it, because he has a plan for you. And he has a plan for this city. And it's kingdom. It's not earth. It's kingdom. And we need to be about his kingdom. Because this earth is passing away with people that he wants to see up in heaven forever. That is our purpose. That is our destiny. That is our calling. So I just want to pray right now that all limits would be broken off of us in Jesus' name. Because God loves Cleveland, and God has something for us to do. God has something for us to do, and it's awesome. It's so good. So God, I just thank you right now, with hearts abandoned to you, that you would fill, God, that you would do what you want to do in us, God, that you would do what you want to do in Cleveland. We thank you, God, for the protection that you placed over Cleveland, Ohio, God. We thank you, God, for the light that you shone down this week. And we thank you, God, for continuance of what you started, God. And God, we want to be a part of it. We don't want to miss out on it, God. Open us, break us, use us, that we could be limitless for you and your kingdom. Thank you, God, that your kingdom is expanding right now. I thank you, Father, right now that you're healing broken hearts, God. I thank you right now that you're mending broken hearts, Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you're taking off burdens. Burdens, burdens, burdens. Like Adam said, families for their children. You're taking off burdens so we can be free. They're God's kids. He's going to take care of them. I thank you, God, right now for taking all sickness and disease out of this church in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, that you are relieving the strife. You are relieving the pain. You are relieving everything that could possibly hold us back. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, because you are good. 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 And we want to experience the fullness of your goodness because we are your children. So I thank you, God, that this day would not be about Pastor Adam. This day would not be about me. But this day would mark a day in this church, Father, that we would go after your heart, that we would go after the revival that you have for Cleveland, Ohio, that we would go after the revival that you have for this church. We just bless you, God, and we thank you for today. We thank you for that you are good all the time, God. You are good, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen.
We love you, we love you, we love you, love you, we love you, we love you. And Jesus would be saying that infinitely towards you. God loves you. And when we realize that God loves us, then we can share God's love with other people. Don't leave this place when I have prayer people come and pray with you. Do not leave this place until you feel loved from Jesus. Don't do it. Don't leave this place until you feel completely saturated with Jesus' love. Then you can go out and people can see Jesus inside of you. So I thank you. We love you guys. Have a great week.